You know, I'd never dreamed, but I got to tell this.
Dickie Morgan called me last night, and he said, Bill, he said, I got a friend that's going to the Panthers game, and he said, I just wanted to call you and tell you I'm all right, and I'm going to be going to the ball game. But I wanted to tell you, let you know. And that was good. That blessed my heart. We're in Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll just read a couple of verses there, 6th and 7th verse. Well, God's been good to us, and I'm sure we all had a great Thanksgiving, plenty to eat, and maybe overeat. And yeah, I'm going to have to lose a little bit of weight, I think, to keep getting in my britches. I eat too much. 9th chapter of Isaiah, and the 6th and 7th verse. He said, for unto us a child is born. And I know it ain't quite Christmas, but this kind of a Christmas story right here. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there's peace again, there shall be no end. There ain't going to be no end to the increase of the government and the peace of God. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. What God, I believe, has laid upon our heart is the Prince of Peace. And a prince, you know what a prince is? A prince is he's a son of a king. Amen. So Jesus is the Son of God. And he come to give us peace and to send peace, the Prince of Peace. Amen. And I thought about how Satan has fought peace in our churches and how Satan has fought peace in our homes. And I mean, I think I mentioned it maybe in the prayer room that every home that's trying to serve God, there's division, there's trouble. And Larry mentioned and others has mentioned it, how Satan is trying to tear down in their home to take our peace. And I thought about, you know, it's hard when death comes to our home, it's hard to have the peace of God. It's there, but it's hard for us to realize that it's there. So if Satan can slip into the church or slip in to your individual houses and cause division between husband and wife or between children and mama, or children and daddy. And I've seen too many times the division come between mama and daddy because they listen to a child. Amen. A child will play mom and daddy. I've been a child. A child will play mom and daddy and play one against the other, especially if there's a breakup in the marriage. And it's all the work of Satan. The breakups in our school today is all the work of Satan. The breakups in our home and the breakups in our country today is all the work of Satan. So he's about his business to stop peace in your heart. You know, when we're at peace with God, and I believe it was maybe Tuesday, I don't know, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday morning, I believe, I went down to the altar to pray, and peace hit me like peace hadn't hit me, and I don't know when, I just felt free, and I praise God for a little touch of peace, amen, that I can recognize. Peace is there, but do we recognize it? I'm going to tell you, we see peace is all around us, but when a black cloud comes, all we see is the black cloud. All we see is the trouble and the turmoil of our everyday life. But he said that he was the peace, the Prince of Peace. And I thought that this was prophesied thousands of years ago to the Jews to go ahead and get ready because the Prince of Peace is coming. And here we are in the time of the Prince of Peace. Even when Jesus was born there, they didn't have a place for him. And y'all know the whole Christmas story in Luke 2, if you don't know it. But there wasn't no room for him in the inn. And I thought when the Prince of Peace was born into this world, immediately it started out that controversy and division was against him, to break him down, to stop him from making anything or being anything. And a word sent out a decree that all the kids from 2 years old and under will be killed so the Prince of Peace wouldn't be around. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't kill God. You can knock it down. You can do everything. You cannot believe it. You can reject it. You can think it ain't going to deal at your house. But every one of us are going to stand before God. You can't beat him down. Every one of us. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. And he said the government was up on his shoulder. This whole mess is up on the shoulder of the Lord. And I thought how the Lord's heart has got to break as he looks down on America today. And he looks up at our White House, a country that God has set free, a country that God has given liberty to, a country that God has given us plenty of food, roof over our head, cars to drive, and peace in our country. And we've abused the peace of God to satisfy the flesh. We've done everything to walk away from God. The house should be full today. I'm thankful for every one of you that's here today. But there's many others that God has brought peace to their house, and they're not here today. I seen just a little cartoon there, and I thought it was right cute. And this fellow was standing on this side of the road, and there's a tractor and trailer coming down this road, and there's a man crossing the road just signing around. And he hollered out, "There's a truck coming. Are you going to get run over?" And the fellow turned around. He said, "What are you doing judging me? I know what I'm doing. You know, what are you doing judging me?" And boom, the truck hit him. So glory to God. I love you today, church. But we need to send out the warning, honey, that the devil is setting up, the Antichrist is setting up. And I thought about it, and I mentioned it maybe to TJ there yesterday. And I thought about if the rapture don't come before the Antichrist sets up, what kind of shape are we going to be in? You know, I'm hoping he does. I'm hoping the rapture comes before the Antichrist sets up. But if he don't, are you going to make it? Your money ain't going to be no count. Amen. Your friends ain't going to be no count. Your credit card ain't going to be no count. If you don't turn to the devil, ain't nothing you've got going to be any count. You know, we can't eat what we want. And I thought about some of the finest food that's ever been in America has been thrown away this year. Throw it in the trash can because we don't eat two-day food. Two-day old food. You know, because we don't eat this or that don't look good. I was picking at some of them. I don't know. It might have been Brian I was picking at. Smell of it. Smell of it. I've probably held my breath and eat some of it.
Yeah. Me too.
I mean, if you're hungry, amen, brother. When you couldn't run out, when you couldn't run out and buy more. But how many of you pick it up and smell of it? My boy, he ain't got nothing, but he'll pick up a gallon of milk and smell of it. And we've been drinking it for a week. Good milk. The expiration date ain't but 2 days old. But it ain't soured yet. Amen. If it is, shake it and make butter and go on. Amen. I'm going to tell you, honey, what I'm trying to get across, that we are wasting away the Prince of Peace. Because we can buy it with our money. I thought about me. I went three different times, three different rounds of antibiotics. And bless God, I still ain't well. If I'd went to the Lord, this thing could have been done. It could have been over with. It talks about a pestle, and that ain't nothing but infection that's going to hit our land. Okay. How many of you's been? I believe little Natalie's went three times maybe.
Yeah.
Little fella back yonder went three times. There ain't no sin in them young'uns' life. So don't say they've sinned. It's the times that we're living in.
Amen.
Infections and things that we've never seen, and the doctor said it's a virus, it's this and it's that. They give a flu shot and they said that it's a different type virus and flu now than it was what we made the venom for. Amen. You just as well ought to go to a veterinarian. Amen. Glory to God. But think about where we're at today. When God sends a plague on the earth, we can't doctor it. What I'm saying today is before the hard times hit, let's get right with God. Let's exercise our faith. Let's muster up some love in our heart. You know why there's so many churches in trouble today? Because they got set in their ways and wouldn't let nobody do anything. We need to exercise our faith. We fell out of love with one another. Honey, if I didn't love Janet, I couldn't live with her. Let me say that again. If I didn't love that woman, I couldn't live with her. Right. She's got a hateful streak about that long. We ain't as honest with each other as we need to be. Have you had bad thoughts this week? The altar's open. TJ said, I took a picture and you said, why don't you look happy? I said, I ain't never been a hypocrite. We put on a smile for a camera, but inside we're eat up. Come on, church. That's where we're at today. Let me go over to James, Will. The Prince of Peace. You know, Jesus, the darling Son of God, the Prince of Peace that was prophesied, had to leave his own country and go down and stay in Egypt. Couldn't even come back. And then he couldn't spend a night in Jerusalem. And then they said, could any good thing come out of Nazareth? All the way they were against him. And finally they thought they had him on the cross. He's done. He gave up the ghost. And the veil was rent. Hallelujah. They put him in a tomb. But he come forth. Glad they couldn't hold him. Can I tell you something? He's living inside me. Oh, I praise the name of Jesus that he said I could have the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'll dwell within you. I'll teach you what you need to know. When there's trouble out there, I'll be your guide. When you need something, just ask. He said, I am the great I am. And he said, there ain't nothing can overtake you. There ain't nothing can stop you. There ain't nothing can knock you down. Glory to God. Just keep me inside of you. Amen. And we'll win the battle. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his holy name. Let's go to James. I'll read James 1. James 1 and 5 and 6. And he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I'm preaching on peace, but can we throw some wisdom in there? A man that won't serve God has no wisdom. He's dumber than a rock. He's a lunatic. A man that won't serve God after God has spoke to his heart. After he's sat in church a while. He has no wisdom. Don't go to him and ask him how he got there. Don't go to him and ask him how he's getting along. Don't go there and let him direct your path and tell you how the reason he got out of church, how all these Christians were hypocrites. I'm going to tell you, every Christian ain't a hypocrite. They some of the finest people I know sitting in Mount Vernon Church today, glory to God, and I'm going to stand up for my church. I'm going to stand up for my people in church. But we need preaching too. We need a standard in our life. We need preaching too. And he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And wavering means to they be in doubt or undermined their spirit. And I thought, my friend, and I got somebody in my mind, and won't call names, but I thought, we got saved when we were 4 or 5 years old. We've lived with this man. We've drank this. We've done that. We've done all of these things. And they sit back and tell the young'uns about what a church, how sorry a church is, how a church is falling, how church people will hurt you. Let me tell you something, honey. There ain't no place them young'uns needs to be, glory to God, other than the house of God. I don't care what the devil tells you or what you see. We need our children in the house of God. We don't need them playing ball. We don't need them on trains, but we've got to have them in the house of God. We need the word of God read to them. We need the word of God live before them. We need the word of God God in our hearts that we can be an example to these kids. That little boy was an example to his little sister. And then the little sister was an example to the little... Y'all seen it? They come right here and hug my neck just in line, just like a little duck. You know what? If some of us would take some lessons, glory to God, from some of our young ones, we'd be hugging some necks. Amen. We'd get up while the preacher's preaching and go to him and say, I've had some hard feelings. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to restore the joy of my salvation. I'm going to get it right with God. I'm going to be where God wants me to be. And you know where I've been kind of a black cloud and let some things bother me? I'm going to be a bright and shining light. I'm going to shine glory to God. And when trouble comes, I'm going to laugh and shout and go on. When it comes my way from my persecution, I'm going to shout and go on. Honey, but if we got sin in our life, we'll bow down to the devil. We'll give up everything that happens to us, and we believe everybody's against us. Greg, glory to God. Greg can't be mad at me. He's my brother in Christ. We don't always agree, but we love each other. We care about each other. He's born and raised in Virginia, and I was on the other side of the mountain. But we love each other, glory to God. We've got the same God. We got little differences. We got little picky things. The devil has torn the church all to pieces over little old bitty things. The Prince of Peace died on the cross that you and I could have salvation and have it more abundantly. Praise His holy name. Glory to God. I've got enough wisdom. Not an education, but I've got enough wisdom of God to know I can't make it without God. I can't make it without church. I can't make it if I get up sometimes. This morning wasn't one of them, but sometimes I get up, I don't want to come to church. Sometimes I study and study and study, and I ain't got a message that I feel comfortable with. Sometimes I just rather not. I'd rather just sit down somewhere and hide. But I'm glad, glory to God, when you go on, things begin to happen. Let's go to the third chapter of James. Third chapter of James. I feel good in my soul. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful Jesus passed by my way in 1968. I'm thankful He took a time out for an old drunk. I'm thankful, glory to God. I'm glad for the turkey I eat and other stuff, but I'm thankful for salvation. I'm glad I got taste buds. I'm glad I got an appetite. I'm glad I got legs that I can go on. I'm glad I got arms I can swing for the glory of God. I'm glad I got something I don't have to hide, something I don't have to be ashamed of. I'm thankful today for what God has done for me. Oh, praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. James 3. About the 10th verse. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Hello? These things ought not to be. I've talked to church person after church person that was church person when they found out you was church person. But they were sinners till they found out you was a church person. When they find out you're really dedicated and say a little something to them, then they're judges. Yeah, then you're judging them. But that's how it's going to be. He said, does the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? I mean, that's common sense, church. That's just little wisdom. Our kids knows that. Our kids knows what this is saying. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine tree, vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. You know what our churches are trying to do is bring forth a little bit of all of it. Hey, we're trying to satisfy a little bit with all of it. We're trying to please the kids and the mom and daddies when they ain't happy. Most of the kids here is happy with me. You go find one that'll talk about me. You get one from 13 years old. You might get on up to some of them that's grown up fast and they're 15. Might find a little fault. But you love me, don't you? All you young'uns under 15 just come up here. Right there's two pews. Johnny, you just sit where you're at. You'll look good sitting among them. Amen. There you go.
You can sit in my seat if you want to. Okay, you'd rather go over there. All right. Lord God in heaven. Hey, excuse me, honey. Hallelujah. Hug my neck, and then I run over top of him. Right over there. Some of you sit right over here. Appreciate that, Ben. You have to sit in my seat. From beside them girls right over there. You want to sit right over there? Now you go ahead and talk about me to one of these. You love me, don't you, baby? I'm glad you're feeling better. Praise the Lord. You love me, don't you? Man. They're not hypocritical. I come to some of y'all and say, you love me, don't you? Be a little different story, wouldn't it? Say, yeah, I love you, Bill. But I've talked about you.
You
do, don't you?
I do love you.
Ain't been a time he'd have killed me. Ain't been a time he growed up to be a teenage Christian. He went out, he would have beat me to death. I ain't sure that he didn't try to get Bill thrown out of the church. Now listen at him. You know what he done? He called me. He said, Bill, I've repented. He said, forgive me. Amen. Now where would I been if I'd have said, no, well, not the way you talked about me, boy. Yeah.
Right, amen. Come on. Amen.
I said, I understand. It's just a flare up of the flesh. Why don't we understand the flare-up of the flesh? Come on, church, we're still in the flesh. You know, if we ain't right where we need to be with God, you'll get mad a whole lot quicker. These goldens got a whole lot of temper. It takes fear and a whole lot of the Lord to keep it down, don't it, Roger? Tell it, brother. But these younguns, I can just preach one that, and I believe, hugged my neck while I go, and I backed right up over the top of him while I go. It didn't faze him. He went right on. If that had been an adult, he'd say, well, you didn't speak to me. You backed up over top of me. We need to come as a little child. These younguns love me. Ben takes me home with him. And prays for me. Amen. You pray for me, don't you, sis? You pray for me. You pray for Bill. Amen. The little girl remembers. How about it, Mom and Daddy, when she couldn't eat hamburger? She wanted a hamburger and couldn't eat nothing. Couldn't even have water. And she begged and she cried. And God opened up the airway. Within an hour and give her food.
Yeah, boy. Tell me.
Woo! That's the God we're serving today. It ain't our God and it ain't our church. It's us that gets distorted. Gets distorted. Gets out of the will of God. We listen to the flesh. It's selfish. Let me go on. He said plainly. That sweet water and bitter can't come out of the same fountain. Go to the 13th verse, and he said, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. The Baptist will preach against work, but he said his work of meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife, listen to me. I'm reading from James chapter 2. If ye have, chapter 3, 14th verse. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Lie not against the truth. What he's saying there, don't be a hypocrite. If we got bitter and envy in our heart, we can't shout. We can't praise God to keep our face. I'm going to tell you, they're standing in the pulpit all over our country today trying to preach a gospel with sin in their life. That's what God is saying today. Because Daddy handed the job down to them and they're going to continue. It don't matter. It's their welfare. It's their inheritance. And I'm not saying there ain't some good ones that got their inheritance. But if I'd have got what I inherited from my daddy, I wouldn't be behind the pulpit today. Can I tell you, we need it from God. But you wouldn't have been in the jail today if you'd have got your inheritance from our family. Glory to God, it's what God give us, and he set us in the church house to work, to have wisdom, to be in meekness, loving one another, caring about one another. These young'uns right here, I'll be gone. I'll be gone shortly. But these young'uns will still be in church. Some of these young'uns are going to remember a message, glory to God, that God brought to them. These young'uns are still going to remember the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the son of a king, amen. King of kings and Lord of lords. The great high potentate. Some of these are going to remember, and sin's going to knock on their door, and they're going to remember. The Word of God said you can't have good water and bitter water coming out of the same fountain. They'll choose that day whether it be bitter and go with sin or to decide to have sweet water and stay with Jesus. Glory be unto God. If we can spare two of them, it'll be worth every message ever been preached. Hallelujah. Glory be unto God. Thank you, Jesus. Appreciate you being. Just keep praying. Hallelujah. But he said, if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. The 15th verse says, this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. You think about how much wisdom in this whole world today is devilish. That didn't come down from God. The wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly. It's sensual and it's devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. There's confusion where there's envy and strife. Can I tell you, honey, I've grown up in hard times. I've grown up as a little boy in church. I remember in a church up the road that I went to, and I remember them getting their jaw slapped. I remember the preacher running around with two different women. I remember trouble slipping into the church, and I can go back and show you the same church today that a young one didn't have room to even sit in because every seat was full. Amen, and they're running 15, I hope 20 maybe. I hope 20. What caused that confusion? Because the envy and strife come in. Can I tell you what the Word of God said? It said jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Can I tell you what brings on separation? Maybe a lot of times the things ain't even happening, but jealousy brings on separation. You know what brings separation in our church? It's jealousy, glory to God. We need to love one as another. We need to be as one. We don't need no big eyes and little U's. We need to be just like these young'uns, glory to God, today. These young'uns ain't playing. They ain't making no racket. Amen. They've helped you young people. Maybe old people, maybe y'all can listen. Amen. They're an example. They've come to the front row to worship God. To worship God. To realize and gain a little something from God's holy word. Amen. Praise his holy name. Let me read on in the Word of God. And where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. Do you know any gentle Christians anymore? Man, it's hard to find a gentle Christian anymore. Why? Satan has put so much pressure down on us and we have give place to him. You know, this ain't about me. If I get beat down, this ain't about me. It's about the kingdom of God. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, wherewith partiality and without hypocrisy, without being hypocritical. And he said, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So if we sow in peace, we got to be of peace. Amen. And we've got to be of the Prince of Peace. If we sow anything, then we can sow in righteousness, and it brings forth peace. The Bible said, blessed is the peacemaker. Blessed is the peacemaker. Let me go on in the Word of God. Amen. Let me jump back to Ephesians. Ephesians 2. I like this. Ephesians 2 and 13. You young and still love me? Young and still love me? I love y'all too. I love y'all too. If I don't die pretty soon, some of you are going to be pallbearers for me. Amen. But now in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We forget where we was. Y'all don't remember me laying around a commode. I've told you enough, but you don't remember what it was. Sometimes I forget that Christ picked me up from that commode. Christ put clothes on me. Christ put my family back together. Christ bought me a car and bought me some clothes. Christ gave me a church to go to. He made an altar that I could go talk to. And he said, I'll meet you there. And I'll answer you. I'll hear your prayers. I'll take time for you. I'll tell you why it's shouting ground. Sometimes I forget where I was at. What was happening in my life. The smell that was on my body. Been fighting roosters all night and all day when that old preacher come up and laid his arm around my neck. The smell of alcohol had turned a chicken stomach. Hadn't took a bath, and it was about 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. On a Saturday morning, he put that old big arm around me and said, I love you. This is 51 years and I still ain't shook it. I remember, Johnny, what that old big arm that he laid around my neck and said, I love you. Ben, I remember, buddy, when that old preacher put his arm around me and said, I love you. I love you. I couldn't shake it. You know what's wrong in our church today? We need some love back. We don't need to look at what we're doing. We need some love back in our churches. We need it back in our home and our schools. Amen. Brother and sister, we need it in our White House and our government. Amen. We need it. We need it. We need it. God is love, and we need it back. Ephesians 2 and the 13th verse. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, and were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, in the 14th verse. He is our peace. They'll never make me believe they're a God-fearing nation when there ain't no more peace than there is in our land today. When we sit and bicker and fight, we'll have differences. Don't misunderstand me. I do. But we need the peace of God in our heart till we can overcome. If we're wrong, we're wrong. Okay? For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You know, the Jews thought that we were Gentiles, we were dogs, we were nothing. And the Word of God backs that up. But Jesus Christ died and broke the center wall of partition that we could have the same right to the tree of life that the Jews had. We were nobodies. Oh, I praise His holy name, and it's come through Christ. The Prince of Peace is what we're trying to preach on. Having abolished in His flesh the enemy, He said, abolished, that's done away with, has abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So making peace. And I believe what he's saying there, church, we are one. It ain't Bill. We've got different positions, but it ain't Bill. I'm not the church. I'm one of the church. He said, I'll make one man. I believe he's saying, I'll make one nation. I'll make one church. No matter what, I'll make you as one. And when we get all on the same train, headed in the same direction, fighting the same battle, it'll be unreal what we'll see God do. We'll sit back in astonishment, in amazement, when we've seen the will of God come through. Sit back in amazement. What about the Englishman, Mark, that Butch mentioned there? What if they'd have just said the NIV's all right, just go ahead. No, they had a standard in Rock of Ages and said, we read the King James Version or we don't read. You know what they need in the prison up yonder? They need some standards, glory to God, to quit bringing everything in. Amen. Amen. So we can get on the same page. You cannot read a King James and the NIV, and it's one of the better. But you cannot read that and come out with the same answer. You can't. We need to get out. Where's the division come from? When I got saved, I'd never heard of a NIV. Or none of these other false books. Never. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. I know I done read this. Having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law and commandments ordained, contained in ordinance, for to make in himself twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby. And came and preached, what did he come and preach? Peace. He came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. He didn't preach no different to those that were close and those that were far off. Preached the whole word. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Friend, we have forgot what a great gift God gave us when he saved our soul, that I have access into the kingdom of God. Jesus said that he would be our intercessor. Said he's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. So what a great gift God gave me as an old sinner and picked me up and saved my soul and said, I'm going to give you a direct line. No charge, the price is done paid. I'm going to give you a direct line. Said, whatever you need, I am. If you need health, I am. Said, if you need a message, I am. If you need loving, I am. If you just need somebody, he said, they're there. I am. I got them. I am. When the church comes as I am, we're going to be something. We're going to be something. We're going to be out of this world, I think. For though through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So how can we say that all of these different things? He said by one Spirit. All these gifts over there in Corinthians, all these gifts comes by one Spirit, by one Savior. Let me turn to Revelation. I'm just about done. Appreciate you, Ben. You just keep backing me, and I've got to keep preaching. Amen. In Revelation 6, and I may just read, I'll read 3 and 4. And he said, and when he had opened the second seal, it says up there in the first verse of the 6th chapter, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. So the Lamb said in the 3rd verse, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth.
And the red horse, if you'll study, is war. The red horse is blood. The red horse, the rider had power to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So the man sitting on the red horse had power to take peace from the earth. And I even thought about in the Civil War. And one time I remembered how many thousands was killed. But there wasn't no peace. Maybe it wasn't a red horse. But they had guns and they had rifles. Thousands killed right here in America over just a little difference. Today, there's still a little backlash when you raise a certain flag. When you raise the old rebel flag, there's a little backlash. Seemingly war never goes away. And in war, thank God I've never been there, but in war, I talked to my uncle on the battleship in World War II, and his buddy got shot on both sides of him. There ain't no peace. He was away from his family. There ain't no peace. People dying in every direction, and there ain't no peace. And the only thing that would keep this red horse from coming to our house is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. The only thing, if I'm still here when the Antichrist is setting up, the only thing that's going to keep me from taking the mark of the beast is Jesus Christ, amen. The Spirit of God in me. I'm not strong enough. I try to read a little every day. Some of it I don't understand. Some of it I get a whole big understanding. Some of it I don't live close enough by. But when that red horse comes through your house with a sword and peace begins to leave. I thought we've walked by and visitation and preached many, many funerals. But as we go around in visitation, no matter how good that person has lived, it just seemingly there ain't much peace there because your loved one is gone. Your spouse of the last funeral I've done, I believe they've been married 62 years, maybe 63. He said, I don't know what I'll do. We growed up together. You know, me and Janet growed up together. Growed up together. It's an empty spot, ain't it, Johnny?
Amen.
That seemingly don't go away. But the red horse will take your peace to a point that you can't get it back. You listen to that red horse rider that comes to take your peace, you rebuke him. Say, I'm going to go on for Jesus. I've got peace and I know where it come from. Maybe this is an odd message. You think about it. What if one of these young'uns got killed in a car wreck? Mama, do you have an assurance that he won't? I've laid awake many of an hour saying, God, spare mine. I ain't got nobody else to go to. I can't reach him. Nobody else can help it. God, spare mine. We better have the power of God about us, praying over these young'uns. It's all right to call y'all young'uns, ain't it? I wish they'd call me a young'un more. I love these young'uns. Mom and Daddy, it's our responsibility to walk straight before them. I'm just one. And with the call of God, just a pastor. But I need to walk straight in front of these young'uns. I don't need to let that red horse rider take me down. I need to stand strong. I'm preaching and giving glory to the Prince of Peace. John, the Prince of Peace. That old red horse rider come by your house, didn't he, with a sword?
took his speech, almost took his life. Messed up things. But the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. I thought about Brother Isom laying down in an old hospital with a busted up hip in pain. What he would give to be sitting in the house of God. And then there's one that's tired that overslept this morning and decided not to come. Lord help. He's told me many, many times, Mr. Isom, I'd give anything if I'd have met up with you all a long time ago. I wish I could have met up with the church and the peace and the love of God. But you get an invitation. I preached enough.